Welcome to Ad Exchanger Talks, the podcast devoted to examining the issues and trends in advertising and marketing technology that matter most to you.
This episode is brought to you by Nielsen. With consumers spending more than a quarter of total TV time streaming, it's more important than ever to validate your media plan and prove ROI. Your audience is spending time in new channels. Are you? Visit nielsen.com/streaming to get the tools you need to implement effective cross-media strategies. Audience is everything.
This is Allison Schiff, and thanks for streaming or downloading or however you choose to listen. That's my awkward little segue into fragmentation. Audience fragmentation is for real, whether you're listening or watching. People watch what they want to watch, where they want to watch. NBC Universal knows that quite well and firsthand, which is why measurement, including across what is an increasingly fragmented streaming ecosystem, is one of their top priorities. This week, we have Kelly Abkarian, who after 16 years with Nielsen joined NBCU as EVP of Measurement and Impact roughly a year ago. And now she's set on disrupting the cross-channel measurement space, although you could argue that it's disrupting itself. Not long after Abkarian arrived, NBCU issued an RFP looking for cutting-edge measurement alternatives to the status quo. As Kelly says in this episode, advertisers don't want to buy ratings. They want to buy results. But before we get started, I need to mention AdExchanger's Programmatic I.O., which is heading to Las Vegas May 23rd through May 25th. Join us as the programmatic ecosystem comes together for deep dives on identity and privacy, CTV trends, insights on performance and measurement, and much more. Head to programmatic.io/LV22 to meet our speakers and view the agenda. Register before April 22nd to save $300. Oh, and we've got a special deal for you. Podcast listeners get an additional 10% off by using the code POD10 at checkout. POD10. We'll see you there. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So I want to start with what I've found to be my favorite icebreaker. So what is a fun and or interesting factoid about you that just not a lot of people know?
Yeah, I have a fraternal twin sister who also works in the media entertainment industry. And much like me, she has a huge passion for numbers. And though we share similar passions around, I guess, measurement, we could not look more different. You would probably pass by her on the street and never guess that she's my twin sister. She has strawberry blonde hair, blue eyes, and I've got dark brown hair and hazel eyes. And not to mention a very noticeable height difference. But it's been, you know, it's been a fun journey through life having her by my side. And it's even more interesting now that we find ourselves in the same industry working in somewhat similar remits, but, you know, from different places of employment.
I didn't know a love of media and measurement was genetic.
Well, you know, it's funny you ask that because I have another younger set of twin sisters and they find themselves in the measurement ecosystem as well.
Stop.
I guess it's the love for math and numbers and they also work kind of in the measurement ecosystem as well and different remits.
So I'm going to ask you this question, but I guess it's a question for the whole family. I mean, you've dedicated most of your career to the art of measurement. You were at Nielsen for like 16 some odd years, and now, you know, a year in at NBCU. But what is it about measurement that just does it for you, that appeals so much?
I mean, I guess I've always been drawn to numbers and mathematics and telling stories, and measurement itself appeals to me because of the impact good measurement can have on society. You know, it really quantifies the value for our clients and their investments. And data, as it continues to change the landscape around what is possible in which to understand how to not only watch the amazing content on the screen, but being able to support the valuable content on the back end side that audiences are drawn to and really tell that story with data. I'm very passionate about. And, you know, it's not even the consumers who in this role that is important to understand those behaviors and to be able to create that right experience. It also plays a huge role when you think about underwriting content, supporting the talent that sits in front of the screen, behind the screen. And it really does shape the society that I hope to have some piece of making sure I do my part to leave behind the type of society that, you know, we all want to be a part of and live in. And I think the value of content, especially the premium content that we have at NBCU, it shapes cultures, it shapes and grows brands, and it helps to represent the diverse audiences that we're serving. And I think if we lose sight of the content and we lose sight of cheapening that content with trying to make the math simplified, I think we're at risk of dismantling the entire business of premium video. And I think that's what gets me up every day, gets me excited to really focus on how I can help both our advertisers, our consumers, as well as my, you know, own networks, really understand how to use data to unlock the value to drive the type of society we all want to continue to plow ahead and what we want to leave behind.
I mean, I really like that idea of telling stories with math so that people can tell stories not with math. So it's kind of facilitating storytelling using, you know, the talents that you have that are behind the scenes, but are, you know, what helps all of this, you know, content, all of this culture continue. Why did you make the move to NBCU after 16 years with Nielsen? I mean, it's a long time to have spent in one place for sure. And it's not saying anything new, just stating a fact to say that Nielsen is having a tough time right now.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for my time and my colleagues and what we achieved over the 16 years that I was there. And, you know, really you set a unique vantage point at the epicenter when you work at, you know, the standard or the currency that was underpinning most of premium video advertising. And then, you know, really was starting to take a run at digital. And so when I got the opportunity to really build out a new ad tech unit inside of Nielsen that eventually was the addressable capability that was sold across to Roku. To me, it was a right time to kind of evaluate the options of what do I want to do next in my career? Did I want to head to Roku and continue on, you know, driving forward a new capability to really unlock addressable at scale across the largest glass screen inside of linear advertising? Or did I want to do something else? And that's when, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity to work under both Krishan Bhatia and Linda Yaccarino at NBCU and watching what they've been doing across the years to really drive innovation, drive, you know, scaling technology, looking at how to take the assets across Comcast NBCU and bring them together in a way that unlocks the best value for their clients. It was just an opportunity I really couldn't pass up. You know, NBCU reaches almost 700 million consumers across the globe each month, and they really are at the forefront of unlocking innovation. And so for me, it was just the right moment to come and evolve measurement capabilities inside of the largest network in which to execute on that promise of better measurement and really a unified measurement to bring to the advertisers as our consumers continue to evolve and change themselves. And so that's really, you know, I think how I ended up here, and I couldn't be more excited. I'm coming up on my 1 year anniversary here very shortly in a few weeks. And really thrilled by the opportunity that I've been given to really lead the charge around bringing forward better measurement for NBCU and really looking at ways that we can bring the work we're doing to educate the marketplace at large as well.
So better measurement, unified measurement, and then also this concept of measurement independence that you've talked about, just moving away from relying on one measurement system. I think NBCU has really been, you know, leading the charge there. And, you know, you've talked quite a lot about that yourself. And I've spoken with David Kenny, the CEO of Nielsen. Of course, you know that. We've had him on this podcast, actually. And he's said that, you know, measurement independence is one thing, but, and I'll quote him, but I think it's really important to talk about independent measurement. So how would you respond to like that sort of sentiment?
Well, when I use the words measurement independence, I'm reflecting on a mindset shift to meet the moment that we find ourselves in. What I mean by that is we need freedom from legacy thinking to transform. We need freedom from having only one option in which to innovate. We need freedom to use more than one KPI that might not best reflect the value of a deal for both buyer and seller alike to help any advertiser really drive and meet their business objectives. And most importantly, I think it's freedom to seek creative solutions to improve the overall viewing experience for audiences everywhere. So measurement independence simply means that we must move away from how things have historically been and move towards a future of optionality and interoperability to ensure that we're properly measuring the value of our content and doing that with the best data inputs as well as best set of measurement companies that can help us ensure that we are getting the right understanding across, you know, 300 distribution endpoints that we use to get our content to have an opportunity to be in front of consumers. So that's how I would, you know, think about measurement independence. It's not about becoming our own walled garden. It's not about not using independent measurement in which to help bring confidence to the counting that is occurring. It's really about agreeing that, you know, the approach that got us here is simply not keeping up with this new fragmented, complex modern viewer. And we need to be open to all the options of how we can do better. And I've really encouraged the measurement companies to really work together on this true concept we've been talking about for a while around interoperability.
And I do want to talk about some of the measurement companies that you've been working with, and iSpot in particular. But before that, I have to say, hearing you talk about measurement independence, I feel like if you were running for president, that would be kind of like the tone you would strike. You know, like I picture you behind a lectern, you know, like talking about measurement independence. I want to talk for a second about panels, because NBCU has been, well, just as you were saying, like critical of the measurement status quo for a while, but that's like really true across the industry. But I remember hearing Linda Yaccarino speak at an IAB event like way back in 2015. I was very green, so I was still learning about how all of this stuff works back then. I still am. But it was very clear in my mind, one thing that she said, which was something like the Nielsen panel for CNBC's C3 rating back then was based on like a sample of 9 homes or something like that, that was supposed to represent nationwide viewership. So like just with that in mind, just as an example, like what role do panels play in measurement, you know, going forward, and how can they be innovated upon? So, you know, it's not something like that. Like, how can they be modernized to account for, you know, real viewing? And like you were just alluding to, like totally fragmented viewing.
Yeah, look, at our 122 event just this past week, we talked about the scale of our NBC unified data that has understanding of consumers across NBCU's vast footprint, which comprises of 150 million privacy-minded person-level IDs tied to 80 million households. Versus when you look at the Nielsen panel, you're talking about 80 million households versus 40,000 households. And you're talking about 100,000 people versus 150 million people. So we're working with companies to help address these measurement gaps because we believe that, you know, the use of data and the use of identity in a privacy-minded way can really unlock real value to better understand consumers. And conforming big data by a small panel, any biases that data can have can be fixed by these measurement innovators that we're working with because the techniques themselves do not require much sophistication to correct these data sets since the scale of them are so large. A small panel that's measuring 0.03% of the population, you know, what role can it really play in a transactional world where the fragmentation has just grown leaps and bounds when you think about, you know, all the ways consumers can stream and get access to content via streaming. And on top of that, when you think about streaming and the ways that consumers are doing that, that is true census scaled data. That is a true 100% count of understanding. So I think as we move forward, the role of panel may have a play in understanding, you know, behaviors or other things that you want to study, but it really should be minimized to avoid limitations that sampling methods will continue to have in keeping up with the consumer viewing habits that are rapidly changing and with technology rapidly changing. So that's why, you know, we believe exact ad impressions are the metrics that we as sellers and advertisers should use to transact on. And the inaccuracies that get introduced when you try to guess who is in front of a specific screen is only contributing to driving higher inflation, excess frequency, and just plain old waste that's not good for the advertiser and is definitely not good for the consumer.
So we'll get into the specific companies that NBCU is partnering with, like iSpot, a little later in the episode. But just based on what you were just referring to, like what you want to see, you know, happen. What do you want to see from alternative measurement providers and like next generation calibration panels? Like, what variables are you looking at in your evaluation as you try and find, you know, new partners to work with?
Yeah, so, you know, we wrote a lookbook where we looked across more than 25 attributes in which to really evaluate the strength of the companies that we wanted to work with as we moved ahead. You're probably aware we issued a really large RFP last summer. We received over 120 responses from innovators who all wanted to participate across six measurement categories that really span counting all the way to kind of business planning or, you know, the media mix modeling and MTA. And when we dug deep into the transactional categories, especially around cross-platform measurement, we really wanted to evaluate those partners who are saying they believe they can help to solve currency. And I think what we took away was a few things. One, you know, creating a set of attributes that could be looked at across three value variables: completeness of the solution, ability to deliver, to cross-platform readiness, in which to try to summarize up across those variables was a really important kind of organizing principle to really think about inputs, outputs, and then like the reliability of how the marketplace sees that company. And as you know quite well, the current state of cross-platform currency measurement is and will change, and that is okay. And what we want to see these companies do to continue to innovate and transform out there is to really also think about the interoperability that I just spoke about. And that's why we certified, you know, 7 additional partners, including, you know, on top of iSpot certification we had done in January, because you have to really think about things like ad serving, ad catalogs, streaming and digital data, ad verification, you know, ingredients that are really important to bring together that holistic understanding of cross-platform delivery back to our clients. And so, you know, when we did the Super Bowl, we asked Conviva and iSpot to partner up in which to give us the most precise, most complete view of the cross-platform consumer. And it was really fascinating to watch these two measurement companies work seamlessly as if they were one, knowing that the end objective was they each brought unique ingredients to the table to really help us to unlock the power of understanding, you know, a delivery that was as, you know, exciting and thrilling as the Super Bowl is, but to also capture that across all screens in which we were airing the Super Bowl against. And so, you know, I think it's important to know that, you know, we're taking a one platform holistic approach to our business across both local and national and global. And for us, we want to make sure that these currency contenders have the potential to not only give us confidence in transacting billions of dollars across the industry, but also helping us to truly unlock the future of measurement that builds upon the concepts of an impartial, importantly interoperable, but also ensuring that the value of premium content is amplified, not left behind.
Well, speaking of transacting billions of dollars and helping that happen, what are you guys hearing from the buy side, from advertisers and agencies? Like, what do they want from you from a measurement perspective, like for TV, but also, you know, for cross-channel, because that's what we have to be talking about now, considering, you know, fragmentation of consumption?
Yeah, look, I think gone are the days of 3 networks, one screen, one ad, and one way to count. What we hear from them is that they need to be able to see it all so that they can count it all and value it all. And to bring that level of transparency across every impression we serve, regardless of the screen we serve it on, you know, that is basically their simple ask of us. Help me to understand how to bring that unified view so that I can be able to ensure that I'm putting the right media allocation and share of wallet against the right investments. I would also say more importantly, Allison, is that they're telling us they don't want to just focus on counting. You know, marketers don't buy ratings, they buy results. So they really want to understand the results across that entire purchase funnel. And that's why when we issued this broad RFP process, we didn't just look at the transactional categories of audience measurement and audience verification. We went across the entire marketing funnel so that we could ensure that we could start to certify measurement partners that could help us to meet the needs of our advertisers and to help understand back to our clients who are those measurement companies that are going to help us scale those impact results. I think a future where advertisers can drive their businesses forward, where one day in the future, hopefully, we can all start to actually optimize on outcome results versus only optimizing on reach or frequency. I think that's when we're all going to see the true benefits of better measurement being able to really not only unlock better value for the advertiser, but help all of us create a more curated personal viewing experience for our consumers that matter.
So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. But I have one more really quick question before we hit our break. I'm really curious. Are you a cord cutter personally? What is your setup?
Well, absolutely not. I am a proud Comcast home. I've got, you know, Comcast throughout my entire house. And, you know, but I do a fair share of streaming. So, you know, I think it's such a good question, Allison, because I don't think there's such a thing as a label on a home these days anymore. Because I would ask you, what is a cord cutting home? Because if they're able to get access to a virtual MVPD, are they a cord cutting home? Because they're streaming a slim down cable package over the internet. You know, I think we as an industry really need to think about, is this a legacy mindset that we're trying to label consumers into viewing behaviors that we think can be so isolated in which to understand the true consumer? Can we really do that as we move ahead? I think consumers are going to get access to the content they love somehow, some way. And there's so many options of how they can now access and get access to subscription services and different forms of content through various packages. So, you know, I would challenge us as an industry to, you know, move away from some of these legacy nomenclatures and really think about the sophisticated, complex consumer that we're all trying to serve moving forward versus trying to label them into some identity that likely is not fully reflective of their viewing behaviors, their consumption habits, and quite honestly, the way in which they want to be reached by both content owners like ourselves and advertisers alike.
Hear, hear. Do not put me in a box. Okay. When we're back, I mean, there's a lot to dive into. We're going to talk about the Olympics, more about streaming, alternative currencies, and I think we should talk a little bit more about 1/22. Your annual developer conference, which you alluded to, which took place in New York City last week. A lot of interesting developments out of that. So stick with us.
I'm Sarah Sluice, executive editor of AdExchanger, and I'm here with our sponsor, Elizabeth Sampson, and VP of Business Development at Nielsen. It's no secret that the way people consume content is changing. And it's happening quickly. Time spent streaming, for example, has increased 150% since the beginning of 2020, according to Nielsen, likely due to COVID. So, Elizabeth, what does this mean for advertisers and agencies?
You're absolutely right, Sarah. We're seeing dramatic shifts in media consumption at record speed. Now almost 30% of total TV time is spent streaming, and in the last week of December 2021 alone, audiences streamed 183 billion minutes. But of course, with anything new, there are challenges that come along with it. For example, advertisers are tasked with building brand equity to drive sales. To do that, they have to make sure they're reaching the right audience. However, audiences are increasingly fragmented, with the average US adult subscribing to several different streaming services. So determining how to best distribute ad budgets across channels is more challenging than ever, with higher CPMs and marketing budgets that are already tight. Ultimately, advertisers may find that streaming allows for the scale of linear with the precision of digital, which is really unique.
Nielsen releases weekly reports that profile the top 10 streaming shows. From these reports, what are some of the audience insights you found surprising?
There's so much, but I'll cover two points that we found particularly surprising. First, we've seen an unanticipated rise in the popularity of international programs among U.S. viewers, like the hit Korean series Squid Game. It was the second most streamed Netflix original show of the year and made the Nielsen top 10 lists across genders, age groups, and ethnicities. Second, our data shows that it's incredibly important to understand audience evolution, especially when a linear TV show is made available on a streaming platform. For instance, Seinfeld's move to Netflix attracted a surprisingly young audience. Today, 80% of Seinfeld's streaming viewers are under the age of 50, many of whom weren't even alive when the show first premiered on broadcast TV. These are just a couple of examples. However, we've seen both of these trends replicated across numerous programs and streaming providers.
So finally, what exciting developments can we look forward to in 2022 and beyond?
Great question, Sarah. As the linear TV and digital worlds collide, the need for comparable measurement across channels is increasingly critical. We're currently developing a product called Nielsen One, a cross-platform measurement solution that will deliver a single, deduplicated number across screens. With our growing coverage of the streaming ecosystem, advertisers can understand which marketing channels best reach their target audience. Delivering true reach and frequency across all media is paramount to reduce advertising waste, improve the viewing experience, and enable publishers to make informed content and marketing decisions.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
Okay, and we are back. So let's talk about 122, because you kind of put a stake in the ground. I read a quote from, I think it was from your prepared remarks, where you said, in 2024, the currency our industry uses today, the one our industry has used for decades, will completely disappear, which I thought was really interesting. It's a very definitive statement. So how is that process like going to work over the short to midterm, just considering how many publishers still use Nielsen data? I mean, I guess you could say that Nielsen data will become like a supplementary form of data, but not something to necessarily transact against. Or would you say the companies will stop using it entirely?
Look, I think what we're seeing is that we're ushering a new ad measurement and transactional model that's going to really start to set the baseline this year as that change in 2024 is coming. And what I was referring to is that, you know, Nielsen One has said that they will take down C3, C7 as the current currency of record, and it will be no more. And what I mean by that is that all of that historical data, all of those trended baselines, all of that will disappear. And up will come this new ad measurement cross-platform that Nielsen One has been promising to bring to the market. And I think, you know, we're seeing that we have the ability to start to get ahead of that change now, because cross-platform measurement is here and it's ready, in which to unlock the value that we've all been talking about for a number of years. And so that's exactly what I was sharing on the 122 stage, which is that we don't have to wait until 2024. Our goal of creating this stack of interoperable measurement solutions that tell that full, complete picture, we've done the testing, we've done the work. We are, you know, currently leaning in with 66 advertisers who are working with us week to week during kind of Q1. Stretching into kind of early Q2 to evaluate the promise of better cross-platform measurement that we've brought forward. And I think what we see as an ideal world, we believe is here, ready for all of us to lean into. That's a world where harnessing data with first-party identity so we can better unlock that consumer experience and drive better value so advertisers can take their first-party data as well to connect directly with that consumer. With streaming accelerating and ad creative no longer having to travel with the content, we can now use better data to serve the ad properly, count it, and then tie it directly to impact. And by doing just that, it allows our teams to better place the media, and that identity and census level collection of the impressions can then be matched up, reported on, and connected back to a brand's KPIs that can help bring them more value and understanding, as well as a more real-time nature of being able to actually see television impressions on a daily basis. And not only just television impressions, but an advertiser's exact ad. So being able to measure TV at an ad level, second by second, and being able to do this across all kind of impressions, including across to Peacock, and unifying that and providing those reach and frequency metrics and answering those core questions that advertisers have, that's what gets us really excited about the fact that the future is here. We don't need to wait to change until 2024. We have a moment to start to change now, because 2024, we will all have to change as new measurement comes to the forefront in which to bring a new set of metrics that will be used to transact in this industry as we move ahead.
Okay, got it. And speaking of, you know, affecting change today, why wait? NBCU announced that, you know, it's planning to activate iSpot audiences as a currency for national ad buys at the upfronts this year, which is interesting. And it just, it seems like a lot of programmers are working with iSpot as an alternative provider. And I do know that you struck a lot of other partnerships, a whole bunch, very recently. But what is so appealing about iSpot in particular?
Look, iSpot has been innovating for quite some time now and really working to solve this cross-platform challenge. And what's even more exciting is they built the platform itself was built by the advertisers for the advertisers. So it really is a buy-side platform that provides the answers that marketers are asking for the sellers to bring to the table, which is, you know, helping to measure their ads, helping to measure all of their ads, and to do so quickly. And 50% of the top 100 TV advertisers already have a direct relationship with iSpot, which means that they have trust and belief in the measurement data they've been using from iSpot for many years. And so iSpot's really solving the key advertiser needs that we've heard around cross-platform unified view, deliver it to me fast, enable me to understand the delivery of television on the same playing field as digital, where I can look at daily counts of ad delivery impressions so I can better optimize and allocate my media investment, and then do it at a scale where I can have confidence in the reliability and the accuracy of the data. So, you know, we were able to really unlock a lot of value when we used them during the Olympics, where, you know, every second matters. And we were able to provide sellers with completely new ad metrics they had never seen before during the Olympics that really helped them understand the behaviors of our consumers during an event that is really global reaching. You know, we had 26% of Olympic streamers were cord cutters. You know, we talk about not labeling, but we'll continue to do so until we all agree.
It's okay.
Let's take the identities off. While the other 74% were switching back and forth. We had, you know, more than 100 million Americans had tuned in to watch the Olympics for at least an hour in the first 5 days. You know, and when we looked at this also in the Super Bowl, we saw 70% of Super Bowl streaming households were not inside of the traditional TV ecosystems, meaning that they were cord cutters or cord nevers themselves as well. This kind of understanding that we were able to unlock that took days versus weeks or months that typically would take us in the legacy way, you know, we were able to deliver and see in real time and help our advertisers understand the execution of their campaigns across those 17 days on a 24 to 48 hour basis. And so I think, you know, for us, in addition to all of iSpot's capabilities, one of the biggest reasons that they were also our first cross-platform certified partner, and Linda talks about this a lot, but I'll just sum it in one simple word, which is trust. They have the trust of the advertisers. They have the trust of the marketplace. They have been doing this and been in business for about a decade. They're not a new upcomer that just decided there's an opportunity to get into the measurement game and did so, you know, a couple years prior. And so I think that trust element to know that this was a platform built by the advertisers and is servicing the advertisers was really appealing to really lean in and see what they've been seeing for a number of years in the way in which they're using this to make better media decisions.
And as you mentioned, you know, NBCU and NBC and iSpot worked together measuring the Olympics viewership. So let's talk about streaming for a minute and use the Winter Olympics as kind of a backdrop, because Peacock viewership during the Olympics in Beijing was good, and it was up compared, I believe, with the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. But I mean, there are also all of these other like secular trends happening, and, you know, linear viewership was down for the Olympics. But just focused on streaming, I mean, did most of that viewership shift to streaming, you know, from linear to streaming? And like, were the games, I guess, writ large, like one opportunity, as tentpoles can sometimes be, to like make up some ground in the streaming wars, which are, you know, ongoing?
Look, I think, you know, the stats I just gave around the Olympics cord cutters that we saw, we definitely know that consumers are not going back. And when you make that content available and you ensure that they know how to find it and then make that discovery experience really enriching and easy to use, not only will they engage in that platform, they will immerse themselves in which to watch, you know, exciting things like Olympic moments and the events that unveil, and do that with a lot of engagement and a lot of lean in. And, you know, I think what we're seeing, you know, in the streaming world in general, and this is what gets me really excited about better measurement, is that, you know, now as we think about moving from counting to impact, we're able to now better, more directly connect an understanding of that impact that streaming has on consumers. You know, since launch, we've been successful in placing Peacock in a leading position in the CTV landscape. And through a lot of ongoing research that we've done inside of my team, we've proven that our ad innovations are working harder. You know, we've spent a lot of time curating a low ad load experience, because we do believe that leads to higher engagement and higher impact. And the results speak for themselves. Peacock's advertising impact touches every layer of the funnel. We saw a 9% lift in brand familiarity versus the CTV norms across the industry, a 28% lift in brand favorability, and then all the way down to purchase intent of plus 50%. And so not only are we getting the, you know, content discovery experience right, we're getting the ad experience right on top of it. And we're seeing a lot of popularity across our solo, binge, and spotlight innovations that we've put out to the marketplace. And I think at the end of the day, we know each commercial break, each ad innovation, it needs to be additive, seamless, and an interactive, relevant experience for the consumer. And so we are really focused on investing in the technology, the partnerships, the creative quality controls, the content discovery and innovations that we believe is making Peacock a true destination and driving one of the fastest growing streaming kind of platforms in the market as we continue to unlock more and more great content for our consumers to find, discover, and immerse themselves into.
I mean, I'm just curious, do you have a favorite Olympic sport that you're really into? I love watching ice skating clips just because they're so amazing. And also, I'm kind of into diving, which is not a winter sport, but what do you watch?
Well, you know, I got into the kind of the downhill skiing. Those guys were going at what, 75 miles an hour down the hill. I mean, defying some real laws of physics, if you ask me, as they're doing so. So there's a number, and then I'm a big fan of the snowboarding and the half pipe. You know, it was great to see Shaun White and, you know, really kind of perform for the last time, such an iconic champion. I'm always love the ice skating, but, you know, I found myself kind of going for the, you know, high impact, high speed, high precision sports during this last Olympics, and really enjoyed it a lot. Really liked watching the monobob as well. That was interesting new sport that they brought to the Olympics this year.
Indeed. I mean, it just makes me realize how unathletic I am, but I'm glad other people can do these things. It's nice to know the human body has that capability. Some human bodies do, anyway. So, I guess my penultimate question, because we're nearly out of time, is how much does NBCU still rely on Nielsen today? Like, for example, Warner Media, who we've had on the podcast, they're testing alternatives, including iSpot, and working with a lot of, you know, interesting new measurement providers. But today, at least, like, Nielsen is still its largest measurement partner, you know, by far, because Nielsen is still Nielsen. So yeah, how much does NBCU still, like, work with Nielsen, like, today?
Yeah, I would say that we are providing measurement and a flexibility to our advertisers and have been doing so for a number of years. You know, we've grown a pretty sizable data-driven linear business over the last 2 to 3 years, and kind of been on that journey for the last five that doesn't use Nielsen's kind of measurement data in which to transact on those guarantees at all. You know, on the streaming and digital front, probably about, you know, 35% of our footprint gets measured by Nielsen's digital ad ratings product. And the rest is on other measurement partners that we use. And so, you know, I would just say that, you know, we've been already diversifying our measurement ecosystem for a number of years. And, you know, we really think that's important as we move ahead. We do believe that a multi-currency world is very possible because we've seen it play out in our own backyard of being able to, when you bring better data and better insights and connect that to the results advertisers care about the most, and you're doing that in the way in which you're being fully transparent, you're bringing independent measurement companies to the table as well to validate the results that you're giving back. Brands at the end of the day want to just understand how their measurement investments are working for them and how that's driving results. And so our goal is to not just capture the attention or serve every audience, but it's to help brands inspire action and take the viewer experience to a whole new level. And so we're really excited about this continued journey of continuing to diversify and bring flexibility to our partners around unlocking the best data in which to help us all to achieve those objectives.
So to bring us home, you were talking at the very top about, you know, using measurement and math to tell stories. But what are some of the stories you actually watch? Like, what TV do you consume? And also, what's your guilty pleasure program right now? I feel like everyone has one. I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
You know, my husband's been very good about DVRing my programs because these days I find that I haven't had a whole lot of time being a mom of two girls, 15 and 10, and you know, a working executive on top to spend as much time as I'd like really doing a passion that I love, which is watching television. I would say the guilty pleasure that I definitely have is Below Deck. I'm a huge fan of Captain Lee. And, you know, if I've got some time to do some binging or catch up on some episodes, and I definitely find myself kind of going to that as the first kind of on-demand programming that I'm pulling up.
So I don't know why, but I just started watching Criminal Minds, that show about profilers at Quantico. From, I don't know, like well over a decade ago. It just got suggested to me on Netflix. And now I'm like deep into season two, and there are more than 20 episodes in each season. So I'm spoken for a while. I don't even know how it happened. I just started watching it. Just,
you know, I think that is the amazing thing about television. There's an endless amount and variety of content and of choice and of great programming that you can get lost in for hours and hours. And I think that's what keeps me so excited to get the opportunity to be at the epicenter of trying to create the quantification of the math behind the great content that the talent behind the screen and the talent in front of the screen counts on all of us to make sure we get right. And it's what gets me up out of bed every morning.
So well, thank you for being
Criminal Minds.
Yes, Criminal Minds. And thank you for being the quantification behind the content. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Allison. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Nielsen. With consumers spending more than a quarter of total TV time streaming, it's more important than ever to validate your media plan and prove ROI. Your audience is spending time in new channels. Are you? Visit nielsen.com/streaming to get the tools you need to implement effective cross-media strategies. Audience is everything.